will be revealed amongst us, that you would be enlightening and bringing light to the nation in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, today we celebrate the Epiphany of the Lord. And the word epiphany means manifestation or revealing. Often we might say, oh, I just had an epiphany. It's like that revelation of something. But in the context of Scripture, it came that the revelation of Jesus Christ, that revealing, that bringing forth that which was what God had planned to bring forth. In chapter 60 of Isaiah, it paints this dramatic picture for the church, and a picture which is triumphant and exciting. When the Jews would rebuild their ruined city, they'd rise up with new energy and purpose. And it was to get them focused. At the same time, other nations, inspired by the dramatic reversal in their fortunes, and they would be impressed with their powerful God. They would be the ones that would send the gifts of homage to this great king. So we need to have a New Year's focus. As we gather today, there's a bit of a buzz and excitement in me, because it's like the family gathered, and there's more than what we've normally gathered together. And it's lovely to have, there's a few little things about chairs and trying to get where everybody's going to fit, and it's really, really lovely. But I believe that it's important that as we gather this New Year's Day, that we begin to understand the primary focus and the primary purpose of the church, and that is bringing salvation and hope to the world. Today I want to focus on Paul's letter to the Ephesians in chapter 3, because he reveals this amazing plan for the Gentiles. In verse 1, chapter 3, it says, "For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles," he's addressing the Gentiles, says, "surely you've heard about the administrations of God's grace that was given to me for you. That is, the mystery made known to me by revelation." This is the revelation, the epiphany, that suddenly there was a turnaround, a big revelation in Paul's life. I, a Jew, oh my goodness, I'm being called to give this message, this good news, to the Gentiles. It isn't just for us Jews. And so this mystery should be the revelation to us about the amazing grace that God poured out for all of us. And that was to bring salvation to both Jew and Gentile, slave and free. Ephesians 3, verse 4. "In reading this, then, you'll be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which has not been made known to people in other generations, as it's now being revealed by the Spirit to God's holy apostles and prophets." So Paul's actually intimating here that there's a structure set up for the church, and that's the fivefold ministry that was already been talked about in Ephesians. He's talking about God's construct of this new church. But he's talking now about the mystery of Christ, the revelation of Christ. It's just for all men. And so this mystery, verse 6, is this mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body and sharers together in the promise of Jesus Christ. Now, this would have been very difficult for the Jews to hear and the Jews to take in. You see, in their understanding, they were the only one that had this special place of inheritance to the kingdom. So without any warning, suddenly the way or the door is open to the Gentiles. And so Paul recognized he, a Jew, has now been given this special gift of grace to go and share the good news of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles. Paul says, "This grace was given me to preach to the Gentiles the boundless riches of Christ and to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which for ages past was hidden in God, who created all things." So Paul was commissioned to preach this boundless riches of God's glory through Christ, to make plain to everyone that now the mystery, which was hidden, It was hidden from the Gentiles. It was given to the Jews to a certain part. It was actually hidden from them as well, the revelation that God's wisdom was going to actually bring everybody into the kingdom. But now it's being revealed. So this is a perfect epiphany. This is a perfect revelation of truth. But there's more revelation as we go on to verse 10. And this is a bit hard to get our heads around. This bit here is like, it's going to be a bit heavy and tough, but I hope that I can share that it will actually become a revelation. So verse 10 says, his intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God shall be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to his eternal purpose that he accomplished in Jesus Christ our Lord. Paul is saying that through the church that's now being constructed, through the fivefold ministries, it's bringing in the Gentiles. It's not just for Jews. It's not just the Jewish community. It's not just the Gentile community. But through the church now, God is revealing to the heavenly host, to angelic hosts. He's even revealing to the demonic host. All heavenly hosts, he's revealing the manifold of his wisdom, which is salvation to all mankind. God's revealing that this manifestation or manifold wisdom of God is now being released. So you can imagine angelic hosts, demonic hosts saying, see what God's doing now on the earth to the church, because they don't get the revelation and the understanding of it. They don't have the same relationship with God as we do. And so they get the revelation by what they see God is doing in the church. So Paul's implication is that wisdom of God is being known even among angels in spiritual realms because of what is taking place through the church. So we're the filter that gets to show them God's glory. And this includes both the loyal angels and the fallen angels who serve Satan. It's a pretty big, deep revelation if you really think about it. This also means that angelic beings are not omniscient. They can't be everywhere. They can't know everything. They don't know everything that God's doing. They don't experience the same intimate relationship with the Lord that we all have and can have access to. They learn and they gain wisdom about who this God is by the way he works with us, by the way they watch what he does with us in the church. And as they see what the church is doing, they go, oh, that's how big God is. I thought he was pretty good and pretty big, but now he's bigger than I thought. You know, can just imagine it. So certain mysteries of God have been hidden from those in the spiritual realm at first. And in 1 Peter, it says there, 1 Peter 1:12, it mentions that there are certain things that even the angels long to look into. You see, not everything's revealed to the angels. And they long to know. There's a longing in them that they long to look into. And the truth is that these angels are watching from heavenly realms to see what God was doing. And in this case, it was the revelation of the Gentiles that they would now be Christians. They were now to be joined to a new covenant on exactly the same basis that the Jews were being connected. So you see, now they're heirs together, brothers and sisters, Jews and Gentiles. Take that. How good's that? We know it's good, but how would the Jews have taken that? Suddenly, how does that happen? It's a mystery. It's the mystery of Christ. It's the mystery of Christ's grace. And that truth has now been made plain to all of us. We know that. That's like, oh, we understand that now because that's just what we've been living with for many, many years. And so under the old covenant, this plan had been kept hidden. In God, it was a mystery even to the angels. But now it's a mystery no longer. So its outworking was being administered by God. In other words, the accomplishment of salvation being released on the earth is a divine hands-on administration of grace. God himself personally administers the accomplishment of our salvation. In the book of Acts, we see the church spreading out under the leadership of the Lord from Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria and then into Asia Minor and then into Europe. The angels knew the simple wisdom of God, that he created the world. They would have been watching and wondering what God was doing. And as he was doing it, they'd be going, wow, look what he's doing now. Oh, that's really exciting. And he would have, they would have, the angels would have seen that he permitted the fall of man. The angels had gone with their flaming swords when Adam was driven out of the garden to guard the way of tree of life, to prevent Adam and Eve returning there. Can you imagine the conversation the angels were having? Geez, being a bit hard with them today. You see, this revelation is what how they see them dealing with mankind. They had been present when God called out Abraham and announced that through his seed, all the nations of the world would be blessed. They were there on Sinai when the 10 words of the law of God were given. They were there when God called Isaiah, the prophet, and he heard them. He heard them crying, "Holy, holy, holy," and seen them covering their eyes and their feet. They'd marveled at the patience of God with mankind. When some of the angels had rebelled and they were cast out of heaven, just imagine this, and I can't always get this either, but they were consigned them to everlasting darkness. They were reserved for chains for the day of judgment. But men, how patient has God been with man? Not with angels, but with man. And he treated them far worse. Mankind had treated Jesus far worse than the angels had ever done, yet God was so patient towards them, not willing that one of them would perish. And the angels are watching this. So what did the angels witness? They watched the Spirit coming upon the church at Pentecost. They saw broken lives healed and the guilty forgiven and the gospel preached in nations that were once in darkness. They saw the kingdom spread with multitudes that were once in darkness now given the light. They saw multitudes born again to a living hope of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Through the work of the church and the apostles, the preachers, missionaries and evangelists, all of its ordinary members telling the gospel to the Gentiles, they saw thousands all over Greece and Italy and Asia coming to Jesus Christ and joining the church. Not second-class citizens, not second-class Christians, but co-heirs, co-members, co-sharers with Jewish Christians in the promise of what they'd been given in Christ. The church throughout the ages in its evangelism and its work to bring the mission forward was preaching to the angels. What we do every day is preaching a message to the angels, the manifold glory, the manifold wisdom of God. And there was a joy in the presence of the host of heaven as there had never been before, as that manifold wisdom was released. The revelation of the mystery is essentially the revelation of the love of God. That love that would give so much to humankind in ways that make the angels amazed, startled even, as they learn the tremendous extent of God's love and grace towards mankind. When you go through a dark and difficult time, the love of God is being manifest there. You may not see it, but God knows how to make it clear. And even the joyful times are manifested and the manifestations of the love and the wisdom of God. And as the angels watch us, Church of the Way, they see us learn to trust God, to turn from our fears and to renew ourselves with divine strength, to draw upon God's great and mighty promises in the hour of pressure and danger. As they see this, they praise. They praise God and they begin to ring out in amazement and wonder at a God who's able to find a way through for each and every one of us, by which he can lavish his love, continue to pour out his love upon the very ones who may even deserve his wrath in this city. As we start this new year, my prayer is that we will get rid of any of the old things that are holding us down and preventing us from discovering the real love of God and his presence in our lives. It is my prayer that you will replace these things by careful examination of the Word of God, Spirit and Word, that our focus will be upon the Word as the economies disintegrate and the world is chaotic around us, to press in to hear the voice of God. Spirit and truth, which enables us to be full gospel people of Christ. That is what Christ is calling us to be as we head into the new year. Isaiah promises that the church shall be enlightened and shone upon, that it shall be enlarged, and great additions will be made to her, that the new converts will be greatly serviceable to the church. The church shall be in great honour and reputation among men, that it shall enjoy a profound peace and tranquility, that righteousness will overtake the members, and the glory of God and the joy of it shall be everlasting. We need to be a church that believes in the power of God to set people free and bring light into the city and continue to release that glory of salvation for all mankind. We must believe that the power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is living in you, is living in us. If we could just get a revelation of that, we would make such an impact on this city. Amen? Amen. As we head into this new year, remember that there are many, many, many good things happening all around us. Don't focus on that which is negative. Don't focus on that which we don't understand. But good things lie in store for all who believe that good can come and will happen, that good is always triumphant over evil. God is present to support and guide all those who listen to his word and who look for the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He gives that in our lives of the saints that look to the stars of the heavenly realms for signs that he is here. The wise men found Jesus because they watched for signs of God. They listened to God's word and they followed the star. Go forth into this new year aware of who you are and to whom you belong. May the amazing love, grace, and manifold wisdom of God be seen in the heavenly realms when the angels look down and they watch you, Church of the Way, this year. May they be astounded at the salvations and the healings that will be released in our midst. Let me pray. Father, I pray for the power of your love to shine upon us, to refocus us on the great mystery of Christ. Let our focus come off of the things that we've left behind in the old and we want to take on in the new. We ask, Lord God, for your guiding hand and a guiding star to reveal your love and your direction for each and every one of us. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.